Golf Smarter number 661 is brought to you by Peter Millar Golf. Go to petermillar.com/golfsmarter to use my link and receive complimentary shipping and a free hat with your order. And just one more time, I invite you to honor Tony Manzoni's memory by making a tax-deductible contribution to the Tony Manzoni Memorial Golf Smarter Fund, benefiting the first tee of Coachella Valley. Tony passed away on October 13th from bladder cancer, and it seems as if this podcast was the only place online that recognized how amazing the person and the instructor that Tony was. Now, in the first few days of receiving donations, it's only taken a few of those donations to cover the cost of a scholarship for a child to have a one-year membership to the first tee. It's only $140 to cover one child's scholarship. And it's, well, obviously the $140 is not up to you, but combined with other donations of any size, here's what you give a child the opportunity to receive: 3 8-week sessions of lessons and a free summer camp. Unlimited access to the first tee of Coachella Valley facility that includes a golf course, the practice greens, and the bunkers. Free course play for their members. A small bucket of balls per child per day. And equipment use that includes the golf clubs. And there's more. Now, I've asked you to purchase things, and I will continue to do that so we can avoid memberships and pay-per-listen content. But I hope you recognize that this is a little different. This is from the heart, not just the checkbook or the wallet. Please go to golfsmarter.com/Tony to find out the links that are all things Tony. But the main reason I'm sending you there is to make a donation to the Tony Manzoni Memorial Golf Smarter Fund to benefit the first tee of Coachella Valley, which covers Palm Springs, Palm Desert, and most of Indio County. All tax-deductible donations made to this fund will only be used for the programs and scholarships. Please note that there are instructions on that page to make sure that your generosity is recognized in the correct place. Again, golfsmarter.com/Tony. Thanks. Helping golfers fix their annoying and painful lower back pain with Thomas Malcho.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Thomas.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for reaching out. I'm really excited that you did, because this is a topic that I wish I covered more, but it's too painful to do so, and that's the pun. we're going to talk about low back pain, which is way too common for golf. Way too common for golf. I have a friend I'm playing with, and you can just see him grimace when he swings the club, and then in between shots, he's, you know, just on the ground, rolling over and bringing his knees up to his chest and trying to stretch himself out, but you can tell he's in a lot of pain. This is really prevalent, isn't it?
It certainly is, and it's something that I've noticed now for a few years, especially in the clinical setting, having more and more golfers come in with low back pain, and it got to the point where I would even call it an epidemic.
Oh,
you know, and I've confirmed that with colleagues of mine, other healthcare professionals, and that's why we decided to start the Low Back Pain Center for Golfers, is to get to the bottom of it and to help people out.
That's awesome. Where, why did you focus it just on golfers?
Well, you know, golf is at a really cool point right now where, you know, probably starting with Tiger, you know, he started getting into the gym and started working out and trying to pull more athleticism out of his body. And, you know, that sort of in line with what a lot of other athletes in other sports were doing. And that's great. But at the time, we didn't really have a lot of science on how to do that and what sort of qualities were most important for a golfer. And I'm afraid that some of those efforts were misdirected. And some of the things that golfers are doing in the gym do worry me. Things like squats and deadlifts. These types of exercises are not tuning the golfer's body to be successful. When you take a look at, you know, what hits a golf ball far, 70% of the power comes from external rotation of the back hip. It's not from squatting and deadlifting and these sorts of things. It's from being able to store and recover elastic energy. And when you do these heavy load bearing exercises, you change the structure of your joints and you lose that elasticity and you set yourself up for injuries.
Yes, we do set ourselves up for injuries. And this is a real touchy subject for me because I've been through this. I had chronic back pain for decades, and it didn't get better with golf. But I loved golf too much to try to get it in the way, let it get in the way. And I've there, you know, even though that I've been through yoga, and I do yoga and swimming, and I've you know talked about swimming and it, those things have helped my back. But I think the thing that helped me most is when I learned to keep my lower body quiet. Now,
right.
You know, with not a lot of swaying back and forth. But in reading stuff from your website, I realized that maybe I started to add a little more hip turn.
Right.
And
yeah.
Please talk about that, how the hip turn affects back pain.
Well, the thing with the spine, especially the low back, the lumbar spine, is there is not a lot of movement there. It's not made to move. It's made to hold. You have maybe 5 to 10 degrees of rotation there. And if you, when you take a look at the back or the golf swing, during the back swing, you're asking your body to rotate. You're asking for a big shoulder turn. You're looking for that X factor. And if you don't have the mobility in your hips and through your thoracic spine, which is your upper back, and your shoulders to make that turn, you're then stressing your low back. And that's one of the big causes of the low back pain issues that we're having in golf is, I mean, these technologies like the K-Vest and all that, that this stuff is great. But at the same time, you then have this number that you're trying to achieve. You're trying to get this huge X factor. And if you haven't tuned your body to be able to do that appropriately beforehand, you're really hurting yourself. And it might not be something that happens right away, but slowly you'll start to feel that your low back is starting to creep in and this and that. And pretty soon maybe you're not hitting the ball as well as you should. And pretty soon maybe you're not golfing at all. Mm-hmm. And so I really strongly urge people to take a look at their hip mobility, internal, external rotation, their thoracic mobility, maybe get a physiotherapist or somebody to take a look at this. When it comes to hip internal rotation and external rotation, the pros and the great golfers have a great ability to internally and externally rotate their hips. And so that is certainly something that's very important in the golf swing.
Let's go a little deeper with the internal and external rotation.
Okay. Well, this actually brings us back to the squats and the deadlifts is when you bear load, when you ask your tissues to bear load, you toughen them. And when they become tougher, they lose that elasticity inside the tissues and they become stiff, right? And so people who are, you know, and they're doing this with good intentions, obviously. They're going to the gym and they're putting the effort in and they're working out. But in their efforts, they're stiffening up their hips and they're losing that mobility. And now they're asking their back to do more of the work, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. Lifting is a bad thing for golfers?
I would say so, yes. You know, and that sounds
yeah,
kind of crazy for a lot of people to hear.
Yeah, I'd have a couple listeners that I know who are very serious about their workouts that will not be happy about what you're saying.
No, and I know it's a controversial thing to talk about, and Canadians. I understand that.
He's a Canadian too.
I understand that, you know, like when somebody begins to build strength, they are certainly going to get improved athletic performance, right? And that's mm-hmm. that's going to last. It could last for a few months and it could last maybe for a year or more. But every tissue in your body has a biological tipping point. And if you cross that tipping point, you're heading on a one-way street to injury. Mm. And I mean, let's talk about the tissues of the spine specifically. The discs in your back are made of collagen, and they're held together by a ground substance. And when you golf, you create mobility in that ground substance. You teach those tissues to store and recover elastic energy. And these are the qualities that you need for a golf swing, right?
Yeah, but I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't understand what you mean by ground substance.
Ah, okay. So I'm getting a little technical here, but
I don't understand it.
Yeah. You have the bones in your back, right? The vertebrae. Mm-hmm. And then in between each vertebrae, you have the disc. Mm-hmm. And the disc is made of collagen fibers and layer upon layer. And those collagen fibers are held together by this ground substance. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that ground substance, your discs, how about we just call them the discs? Discs are adaptable. So you can build mobility into those discs and train it to become more elastic. Or you can stiffen those discs and train it to bear load, but it can't do both, right? Mm. And so if you are a golfer and you've been golfing for years and you've adapted your discs to be elastic, if you then get into the gym and you ask it now to bear load, you're going to get some improved athletic performance. Your muscles are going to get stronger, but you're also going to stress your discs to the point where, because of that increased mobility, you're at increased risk for disc herniations and disc tears. So you will get some, you know, improved athleticism out of the gym, but you're also setting yourself up for more chance of injury.
Mm-hmm. Do you just work with golfers?
I do now. Yeah. For a number of years. I mean, I've been a kinesiologist now for 20 years. I've worked with a lot of different athletes, including many professional and Olympic athletes. But now I just focus solely on golfers. And that's primarily because, you know, this unique situation we have where the golfers are, you know, starting to get into the gym more and wanting to pull more athleticism out of their body. And this is a really unique opportunity to help them. And that combined with the issues that I'm seeing with the low back injuries, and you know, I've injured my back when I was 17 quite severely, so I know what that's like, and I've gained that empathy. And I also know that it, you know, how much low back pain can sort of take over your life and how much it can affect your relationships and everything. So
yeah,
I saw this as an opportunity to help people.
That's awesome. With the Olympic and professional athletes that you work with, did you find a consistent thread of what type of sports they were working, and that you found similarities in that brought you to golf?
I wouldn't say so.
Okay.
When it comes to tuning a body for a sport, whatever that sport is, there's an algorithm that I use. And so you have to take a look at what the demands of the sport are, right? And then you take a look at the individual athlete and what their abilities are, and then you train to make up the difference, right? And so and that's what tuning the body is all about. So if you take a look at, say, like a dump truck is really good at carrying load, but it's not very fast. Whereas a race car is very fast, but it can't carry load. And so you have to tune the body to either be a dump truck or a race car, or whatever the case is, right? And so that's the skill of good coaching, and that's what the professionalism of good coaching is, determining what's required and then mm-hmm. building that into the athlete.
Mm-hmm. And what other – I'm really curious about the professional and Olympic athletes. What kind of athletes were they? What were their sports?
We had – NHL hockey players, football players, soccer, their archery, that was really unique, canoeing, kayaking, all sorts of different sports with different demands and requirements. It's that ability. I mean, if you can imagine, you have an athlete who, you know, has reached almost their full potential in regards to their athleticism, and then they come to you and they're like, oh, here, can you make me better? That's not necessarily an easy thing to do, because they're already very, very skilled and very athletic. But learning how to do that and learning how to tune somebody's body and build more athleticism out of them is so useful when you see somebody who's just like, say, a weekend warrior in golf or whatever the sport is, and you can see how much potential they have left in their body that they haven't tapped yet. And that's so cool when you can pull that out of them and show them how athletic they can be.
Archery?
Yeah.
I didn't hear anything you said after that. I'm sorry. It's like, archery?
Yeah.
What kind of back pain and what? How does that manifest itself and affect their performance?
Well, if you can imagine the stress that is involved in, I mean, you talked about, you know, keeping your lower body quiet.
Right.
Well, these guys, they have to keep their entire body quiet, and they have to pull that tension on the bow and hold their body in a certain way. And if they have the wrong muscles activated, they're then loading the wrong tissues. And even though there's not a lot going on there, there's a lot of tension going on, and the tissues are getting loaded in a way that can cause injuries. And it's, you know, it's really cool. And that was actually, it's funny you said that, because that was one of the more interesting clients that I had in trying to uncover what was going on. You know, I don't know if you remember the show Columbo.
Sure.
But sometimes I feel like Columbo, you know, you're trying to find all the clues and trace everything back and figure out what the issue is. And if you miss, if you start heading down the wrong way, you're not going to be very helpful to them. So it takes sometimes quite a while to uncover what the issue is and to remove the stressful element, the thing that's causing the problem. And then from there, you can start building the pain-free foundation for movement.
Wow. Does the back pain that we experience, well, let's stay with golf and get away from archery. Does the back pain that we experience kind of expose itself, make itself apparent incorrectly? I'm trying to verbalize this so it makes sense to me too. I mean, do we like, oh shoot, my lower back hurts? That's because I'm sitting wrong, or is it because that was kind of obvious? Because sitting for me is one of the worst things in the world. But I mean, does it show up somewhere else? But it doesn't appear as back pain, and we think it's something else.
Yes,
that's what I'm trying to get to.
That is such a good question, you know, and I'm glad you asked that, because that opens up an opportunity to really sort of teach the listeners about low back pain a little bit. I've been very fortunate in my career, and I've had a lot of really cool opportunities. And one of the opportunities I had was to learn how to do a proper assessment and diagnosis of low back pain from Dr. Stuart McGill. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. McGill or if any of your listeners are, but he's highly regarded as the number one spine researcher in the world. He spent over 32 years measuring the different forces and positions that were associated with various injuries, and then learning how to identify and diagnose those in an assessment. And so anyway, I learned directly from him how to do these assessments. And it's like having X-ray vision where you can see right inside somebody's back, and allows you to really uncover what's going on. And when it comes to low back pain, the first thing that has to happen, if you're trying to fix it, of course, is you have to find out what the cause is, right? And that sort of goes back to what you're asking, is it sometimes something a little bit strange? And it could be. And I think that's one of the things that people are often missing when they go to their doctor, or they go to their physiotherapist or their chiropractor or whatever, is a very thorough investigation of what is causing the pain. And it'd be kind of like, you know, if my thumb hurts because I'm hitting it with a hammer, if I don't stop hitting it with a hammer, it doesn't matter how sophisticated my rehab for my thumb is, my thumb's going to continue to hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And back pain is the same thing. You have to find out what the hammer is, what's continuously hurting the back and causing the pain. And that can take, you know, sometimes it takes an hour, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 hours of talking to the person, getting to know them, learning about their daily activities, watching them swing the golf club, watching them move around, and you slowly start to build an understanding of their movement patterns, of the things that they're doing that are continuously irritating their back. And then once you identify what the pain trigger is, the next step is you have to remove the pain trigger. And so for you, if sitting hurts your back, you know, the first thing we have to do then is take a look at how you're sitting, probably get you a good lumbar support for your chair, get you moving around a little bit more, mm-hmm. and take that stress away from your back. Let the pain desensitize, let your pain wind down, and then start building the foundation for pain-free movement through core stability and movement patterns and these sorts of things. But yeah, sometimes it is a little surprising finding out what's causing the person's pain. Sometimes it's their bed. Sometimes it's the way they put on their shoes, getting up and down off of a chair or in and out of bed and these sorts of things. It can be any one of those things or a multitude of them.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm thinking of all the different things in my life that I had to change to finally get to a point where my back didn't hurt anymore. And I kept saying, oh, it's because I kept my lower body quiet. Well, it's also because I started putting inserts in my shoes and I changed the way I sleep from a stomach sleeper to a side sleeper. And it also, the chair that I have in my office, because I'm one of those people, I'm a desk jockey. If I'm not out on the golf course, I'm sitting at my desk 10 to 12 to 14 hours a day. And so I got a chair that mimicked one of those big exercise balls. Yeah, so it forces me to engage my core more, which has helped.
That's right, and chronic low back pain is actually just a repeated series of acute injuries, mm-hmm. right? And so you're continuously hurting your back all day, every day, and so you just have this chronic low back pain. It's like you're always just hitting your thumb with a tiny little hammer, right? And so you have to remove the hammer, let the pain desensitize, and then you get to work building new movement patterns and building core stability and, you know, working on your swing or whatever's required at that point. But yeah, the first thing is you have to find out what those things are that's hurting.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, the thing that doesn't hurt is having great looking clothes. How's this lead in? Hey, is there anything better than fall golf? Well, here in Northern California, there isn't, because it's the best time of year for weather. But also, it's amazing how quickly the weather changes from being hot and sunny and warm, and then all of a sudden the sun dips behind the horizon and it's cool, right? And in the mornings, it's cool and it changes quickly. But I still love, it's my favorite time of year to play. I swear my best scores are usually October, November. I don't know why, but it just seems to happen that way. Well, with the crisp air and the leaves turning faster rounds because there's not many people out on the golf course anymore, but it can get chilly. And that's why I think you should check out the new Perth Pullover from Peter Millar Golf. I've got a couple of vests from Peter Millar Golf that I've been wearing out in the mornings that have been phenomenal, but this pullover is unbelievable the way it instantly cuts out the cold. It's like being wrapped up in a warm, hot towel. And here's a hint for you guys. When your wife's taking a shower, throw her towel in the dryer for the 5 minutes she's in the shower. So when she comes out, you can wrap her up in a warm towel. There's bonuses for that, okay? But that was just a side thing. But wearing a Perth pullover from Peter Millar Golf, it's like wearing a warm towel, being wrapped up in a warm towel. And not only is the Perth perfect to wear out on the course, it feels great and looks phenomenal. And it fits you like it's a second skin. You don't notice it. It doesn't restrict your swing at all. It's really spectacular. So do yourself a favor and get yourself the Perth Pullover today. So right now, go over to petermillar.com/golfsmarter to get your Perth Pullover. And while you're there, check out some of my other Peter Millar favorites that I picked out for you to see. Be sure to use the link and you'll receive complimentary shipping and a free Peter Millar golf cap. That's Peter Millar, M-I-L-L-A-R. PeterMillar.com/golfsmarter, PeterMillar.com/golfsmarter. All right, Thomas, thanks for waiting for my silliness there. So Thomas Malcho, lowbackpaincenter.com. Let's repeat that because we're going to get people to show up at your front door of your website. But I want to know, let's talk about ways to deal with the pain that you do have that's not just a Band-Aid, right? There's some things that you can do that's going to relieve the pain, but temporarily. Right?
That's right.
Masking it. It's not really dealing with it. So let's talk about that.
Well, that sort of falls into a lot of the misconceptions that are out there in dealing with low back pain. And one of the things that I hear people come in and, you know, they say, oh, my hamstrings are tight. I've been stretching my hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, studies have shown that more often than not, the hamstrings aren't actually tight. What the tightness that they're feeling is actually a tight sciatic nerve. And by stretching that, they're getting, you know, 10 or 15, 20 minutes of relief because of a stretch reflex and provides pain relief, but they're actually tugging on their nerve even more and making it worse. And so, you know, they feel like every day they have to stretch their hamstrings. But if you stretch your hamstrings every day and your back's not getting better, that's not being helpful, right? And in fact, it can be harmful because you're lengthening your hamstrings and you might be contributing to a postural dysfunction that's actually putting more stress on your low back. Hmm. You know, you're talking about pulling your knees into your chest, laying on your back. That's one of the worst things you can do for your back. It puts a lot of stress on. It feels awesome. I know. It feels really good.
But it's not a reliever? I mean, it's a temporary relief?
Temporary. No, yeah. So you'll get that relief for, you know, 20 minutes. Of the stretch reflex, but the pain will come back and it's not a permanent fix. Before you can even, I mean, this gets back to the assessment that I learned from Dr. McGill, it's very important that we find out what the pain trigger is.
Mm.
And so I'll give you an example. So like somebody comes in, the first thing we do is we have a little interview. We talk about, we're looking for patterns here, things that make their back hurt. So I'll have them get a piece of paper. We'll draw a line down the middle. On one side, we'll write down all the things that make their back hurt. And on the other side, all the things that don't make their back hurt, or maybe even things that make their back feel better. So say on the side that has the list where things that cause their back to hurt are sitting at a desk, driving, tying their shoes. That makes their back hurt, but walking doesn't. In fact, walking makes their back feel better. Well, their pain trigger is posture, and specifically it's a flexed spine posture. And so we have to remove that flexed spine posture from their daily activities. We have to teach them how to tie their shoes a little differently. We have to get a lumbar support for their chair. We have to get them up and walking around. I often have my clients set a timer on their watch to go off every 30 minutes. You know, and when it goes off, they have to get up and go for a little walk around the office or whatnot. And so by doing this, what we're doing is removing the thing that's making the back hurt. We're doing more of the stuff that makes it feel better. And we're winding down that pain sensitivity to the point now where you can get a full day of no pain. And once we get to the point where you're a full day of no back pain, then we start building you back up and we start building that core stability and we start working on the movement patterns and building strength and tuning your body.
So do not hug your knees into your chest.
Do not do that. It's one of the worst things you can do for your discs. Yeah.
And don't try to lengthen your hamstrings.
Don't lengthen your hamstrings. If you can imagine, like you're sitting right now, your hamstrings go from just below your knee up to just above your hip. So right now your hamstrings are lengthened because you're sitting and they're, you know, bent around your hip there. Your hamstrings are not short, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the muscles that are short, however, are the muscles in the front of the hip, your hip flexors. And so your hip flexors are too tight, they're overactive, your hamstrings are too long, and because of biomechanical and physiological reasons that I won't go into, when your hip flexors are too tight and overactive, it turns off your glutes. And so now your glutes are turned off, you've been sitting all day, and you head out to the golf course, and you try to swing a club, and we all know that the glutes are the king of the golf swing. Well, your glutes aren't activated properly, and so they're not going to fire properly. So you're going to use the wrong muscles, you're going to stress your back, and lo and behold, your back hurts. So these are the types of things that we have to look for, the patterns that we have to look for, and then we have to strategically turn off the muscles that are too active and turn on the muscles that aren't active enough. And this is called corrective exercise, and it's sort of the art of fixing low back pain.
All right, so give me some, please, some tips or exercises or drills that we can do that are going to help stretch that out and relieve the pain during, during a round.
And this is the thing with low back pain is everybody, you know, you want to have that, okay, what can I do to fix my low back pain? Mm-hmm. Well, that's like saying, what can I do to fix my leg pain, right? Well, it depends. You know, what's the problem? Is it your knee? Is it your ankle? Mm. Is it this muscle? Is it this ligament or tendon or whatnot? And so it's really hard to do that, to just sort of give a blanket, do this or that, because everybody's pain is different.
Okay. I didn't want that answer.
I know.
That's not what I wanted you to tell me.
Nobody does. But one of the things that are non-negotiable are walking. Walking.
Really?
Walking is non-negotiable. Now, some people won't have a very high walking tolerance, right? They'll say, oh man, I walk for 2 minutes, my back hurts. Okay, well, walk for 1 minute then and then take a break, right? And then walk for another minute and slowly build up that tolerance. Another non-negotiable thing is building.
No, wait, are you saying
stability.
Non-negotiable is walking the golf course or just daily walking?
Daily walking.
Okay, right? So not getting necessarily walking the golf course.
That's right. Well, yeah, exactly.
But you should anyway.
You probably should anyway.
I tell you, I cannot sit in a golf cart for 18 holes.
I get more back
pain from sitting in a golf cart. Plus, when I sit in a golf cart, I don't remember the golf course. It's like you hit the ball, you drive to the ball. You hit the ball, you drive to the ball. And it just kind of disappears. The day is gone.
You know, that is a very good point. I have the same experience. Yeah.
But if
you're sitting in a golf cart, right, mm-hmm. and then so you're sitting down, you got this flexed spine posture because you're probably not sitting with good posture, and you're just trying to get up to your ball. So you've sort of stretched these structures in your low back. You've put stress on your discs, mm-hmm. and then now you stand up and you swing a golf club, and you know that's asking an awful lot of your body.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. One of the things that intrigued me about your website is it talked about increased distance and accuracy in your golf game when you have a healthy back.
That's right.
Let's talk about that. That's what we're all interested in.
Yeah, so there's a misconception out there that that strength is what hits the golf ball far, right? And so that, you know, the stronger you are, the farther you hit the ball, and that's not the case. And this is actually surprising. It's actually rate of relaxation that hits a golf ball fast. So it's an ability to activate your muscle and then quickly relax it. That's going to crush the ball off the tee. And to understand why requires a little bit of understanding about how muscle works. When you contract a muscle, it creates force, which causes movement, right? Mm-hmm. But it also creates stiffness, which slows down movement. So if you want to move really fast and you want to create a lot of club head speed, you have to contract your muscles. And specifically, we're talking about the gluteal muscles of your rear hip to create that rotational force of the golf swing, but then very quickly relax. And then that power goes through a stiffened core, up through their torso, down through the shoulders and the arms, and into the club. And so it's very specific sequencing of these muscle pulsing patterns that hits the golf ball far. And there's specific exercises that we do to enhance somebody's ability to do that.
One of the things that's so awesome about today's technology is that we get to do podcasts. But other than that, is that so many teachers, golf instructors now, are able to just have people send a video of their swing and get a lesson from their favorite instructor who just doesn't happen to be down the street. It can be anywhere in the world. And on your website, it talks about you do video troubleshooting sessions.
That is correct.
Can you explain that, please?
So there's a few things that we do with the video. Is primarily we use it as an assessment tool just to find sort of a new investigation to look for muscle imbalances and problems with the movement patterns. And then once we've tuned the body, so let's assume we've got the golfer, their back doesn't hurt anymore. We've built a nice strong core. We've corrected all their muscle imbalances. Now we have to take a look at their golf swing and see what's going on with the swing and look for any issues in there. And so that's where the video troubleshooting session comes in as well, is taking a look at the swing, taking a look at the sequencing pattern of the muscle activation, and making sure that they're getting the most out of each swing. And this actually takes a little bit longer to master in regards to client than actually getting rid of the back pain. Usually, like, the back pain actually goes away, you know, usually within a month. And then, you know, it's perfecting this movement pattern, and it's not rocket science, but there's a lot of rocket science that goes into it, so to speak, of having the person perfect these movement patterns.
So you can work with people anywhere in the world?
Yes, absolutely.
Would you like to?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, what I'm getting at here is that we do weekly giveaways here on the podcast, and I'm wondering if you'd be open to giving away one of your sessions to a Golf Smarter listener for a random drawing.
Oh, absolutely. I think that would be awesome.
Okay. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. I appreciate that. All right. Well, Thomas Malcho is at lowbackpaincenter.com, which we've already heard about. You're based in Vancouver, Canada, but you can help and do consultations with anybody from anywhere around the world. So that's a great way to get in touch with you, is just go to the website. And thank you so much for not only offering your time to one of our listeners, but for offering to talk to me about this, because I find this so interesting and so helpful. Thank you so much again for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay, let's get to our weekly prizes. And thank you so much for registering your name. This week, we're offering two great mental game books, Welcome to the Zone and Integral Consciousness of Sport, courtesy of Scott Ford of the SportsEnergyGroup.com. Scott was our featured guest on episode 606 back in October 2017. The episode was called Welcome to the Zone, Tips and Insights on How to Achieve Peak Performance, if you want to go back and listen to that. Congratulations to Golf Smarter listener Brian Heitzman of Heartland, Wisconsin. Brian, these two books will be going out in U.S. mail, so keep your eyes peeled for my package. Our next prize is from last week's guest, who talked about setting up zones for lag putting. Remember Mark Derlin of DerlinGolf.com. Of course, Mark's an all-around instructor and can help you on anything you're struggling with in your game, but you can't win unless you register. But you can't win an online lesson with Mark if you don't register. Deadline to enter is Sunday, midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern time. But even if you miss our deadline, make sure you register, because once you sign up, you're eligible every week for an upcoming prize. And as you just heard, one of those new prizes is an online assessment and troubleshooting session with Thomas. We also have lessons from Martin Chuck of TourStriker.com and Revolution Golf. And our big prize coming up at the end of 2018 is a new Seymour putter. Sign up now at golfsmarter.com/giveaway. But this is the important announcement about our Top Golf Crush giveaway, because it's your last chance to register to win one of four spots to join me at AT&T Park in San Francisco on Sunday morning, November 8th, 2018. Register to win right now. Hurry, time's running out. Register win at golfsmarter.com/topgolf. Now, here's what we're offering. Four Golf Smarter listeners are going to get a chance to join me to hit balls at the Top Golf targets on the field at AT&T Park. We're going to do a random drawing and announce the winners on our next episode. Each winner will receive a premium player ticket valued at $100, and we'll throw in some additional Golf Smarter swag as well. Transportation and accommodations in San Francisco are not included, so it's up to you if you can make it or not. Deadline for entry, have I mentioned this yet? It's this Sunday, November 4th at midnight Pacific time. The winners will be emailed, and you'll have a week to RSVP. Plus, I'll announce the winners in next week's episode. If you don't RSVP, in that 1 week's time, or you can't go when your name was announced, your spot will be awarded to another listener. These prizes are not transferable. Again, please register at golfsmarter.com/topgolf. And note that once you register for one prize, you are not registered for the other. The weekly prize giveaway and the Top Golf giveaway are different. So you can either go to, or you should go to, both golfsmarter.com/giveaway and golfsmarter.com/topgolf. If you have any questions, need explanation more on this, if you have any comments or any suggestions for guests, please find me at Golf Smarter on Twitter and Instagram, or contribute to our Golf Smarter Facebook page. And of course, you can always write to me directly by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.